I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Go. 612, hi, how are you? I'm fine, thanks. Show number 1196. And number 27 in the new building and number 15 in the new studio. And first time in a while I've worn this shirt, so we're going to keep that number as well.
It's a good looking shirt.
Dave's back from North Carolina. How was that?
I had a great time. Thank you.
Would you recommend it as a vacation spot for our listeners?
Actually, it's not too shabby.
What part of North Carolina?
Kind of fun. I was a little bit north of Charlotte.
I've heard of Charlotte.
Mecklenburg County.
Ooh.
Around Davidson, Mooresville, up in that area.
Sure. Remember the Springsteen song? Mecklenburg. Remember that?
Yeah, sort of.
Maybe Darlington.
I only know that county from the CNN map. On election night.
What they're doing, this is where the vote count is in Mecklenburg County.
Yeah. I've not been, though I'm tempted to go now based on your description.
Very pretty area. Played a lot of golf.
And drank a lot of booze.
I didn't say that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I probably finished your sentences too often. Sandberg, had a very busy weekend. I know some of this, but let's pretend I don't. Did you have a big wedding this weekend?
We did.
Who got married?
Eddie Olchek's son.
Is there a good story that goes along
with that? Eddie Olchek's son's Eddie.
Oh, Eddie Jr.
Eddie Jr.
Eddie
so,
Jr.
But he's not Jr. because Eddie Olchek's dad is Eddie Olchek.
So he's Eddie III.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But there,
okay.
I didn't see a number 3 on the invite or anything.
But we probably had a lot of celebrity spottings and wedding stories and things of that nature.
There was. Okay. But most importantly, the couple, though. And they were fabulous.
Was David Kaplan there?
David Kaplan was
there.
Oh,
that's a big spotting.
He was hard to see because he was wearing a white dinner jacket, so he really blended in.
He wore a white dinner jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that showing up the bride? Anybody that wears white?
Wow, that's risky.
You know what? I don't think Erica was like, "Hey, who's that guy also in white?"
But you're supposed to wear white, right?
I'm not sure how that works for
men. That's a rule for women, yeah. But men,
yeah. But this
is
2018, gender neutral.
Oh, there you go.
The rules apply to both.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. What'd you do, Justin Kaufman?
Well, we were supposed to go to Lollapalooza, but Miles got sick, so we did not.
Sick of the bands at Lollapalooza?
He did. He just was so over it. He was so ironic.
Done.
He was so ironic. So we went to, but we went to Indiana to see my in-laws, which was nice. Nice visit. And Miles is out there for a week, so it's nice. Northwest Indiana.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Shout out to Valpo, Chesterton.
Right, and all the other Indians.
Shout out to a week without your kid.
I know, right? Starts today.
Where's he going?
He's staying with grandma for a week.
And Justin said on Friday that he and his wife are trying to decide just how excited to be about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need to be over the type excited. Like, this doesn't happen very often.
Well, with the new schedule and everything, it's not like you can go hog wild. I mean, we do the same thing. We're just going to sit down and watch TV until I have to go to bed at an ungodly early hour.
Watch what I do to Sandberg. I always hated when my kids left.
Oh, Steve claims he loved the pickup line. He loved driving them to a million activities on Saturdays.
Right. It's great.
His kids like to get up and shovel.
Totally.
Yeah.
Super Joe, did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend.
What'd you do?
I was in Bourbonnais with the Hogan Johns podcast.
Nice.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Wow.
Watching Bears practice.
Over under Bears wins this year? Still to be determined.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Any Roquan sighting down there?
No Roquan.
And Pete had a very interesting weekend. We'll get into that in a second, but let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel.
Appreciate you guys asking about my weekend.
How was your weekend?
A lot of time, man. You guys talking.
With
people
the top
singing.
Six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, man, we got a lot to get to today. Oh, boy. Our best to the people in and around a tourist island of Indonesia where at least 91 have died and hundreds are injured. A 6.6 earthquake hit, and they are still determining how bad this is with a couple of thousand homes gone and worse. Of course, 2004, 2005 when the tsunami hit.
Yeah.
Was the last major devastating thing to hit this particular area of the world. One of the great tourist spots of the world. Anybody ever been? I've never been.
You know, I won a trip to go to Bali a year ago, and then we ended up not going. The bugs and the snakes flipped my wife out.
That would keep me from going as
but
well.
But I was into it. I learned a lot about Indonesia at that point.
So our best to everybody involved in that story, and I'm sure somebody listening this morning loves somebody there, and we're hoping for the best for you. Rudy Giuliani's in the news. He tweeted about Chicago gun violence this weekend, and he endorsed a mayoral candidate. He said the great police genius Jerry McCarthy is going to make all the difference in the world. Obviously, Rudy and Jerry are close. Of course, Jerry spells his name G-A-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
Hard to claim a typo there.
That's a hard one, man. You get a chance to jump into local politics and you misspell the name in which you are endorsing.
Jerry McCarthy is up and listening, and good luck with that. Next.
I look really good in white.
Oh, thank you, David Kaplan.
I love
David
that. Kaplan. That's Mindy.
Oh, I thought it was David Kaplan.
No.
President Trump over the weekend, we'll get into this in greater detail, but President Trump over the weekend admitted collusion and also implicated himself, if not himself, and his closest family members in a crime. There is a federal law against consorting with foreign governments and accepting even the possibility of information that could influence an election. The president specifically tweeted yesterday, Junior, you're just meeting about Russia. You're just trying to get some information on Hillary. His wonderful son. I'm just getting information on Hillary. Totally legal, except for that law.
He said that before. I was reading the article today. He said, so what makes this any different? Just the fact that we're closer to the end of the investigation?
No, he specifically states in this thing two things that could have him in a legal vice that could hurt his sensitive parts. Before, he was a little more vague. Yeah. This is just, here I am, come get me.
Yeah.
Next.
I look really good in white.
Somebody tell David Kaplan to focus on his show. new online ad launch yesterday. Mayoral candidate Tony LaViere says Mayor Rahm Emanuel's red light camera, housing, and school policies have sent a message to Chicago's working class black and Latino residents, and that message is, get the hell out.
You could probably run on that. I mean,
yeah.
There's been a flight of
minorities,
people of color in this city in the last 4 years, so you could run on that.
I don't know the red light camera piece of that story because that seems fairly non-biased, but the housing and school thing, I think you could argue all day.
Well, there's,
I think the red light cameras are in minority neighborhoods.
There's more of a minority neighborhood?
I think that was the hint.
There's more tickets being given to those. Across the board, if you look at the way that...
But that's got to be because of the red lights, because the red lights can't see if you're brown or black.
Right, that's true.
All right, and any response from the mayor's office yet?
No.
No, doubt there will be.
Okay. Next.
I look really good in white.
I'm telling you. Shut him down. President Trump insulted LeBron James' intelligence and Don Lemon's intelligence, as he tends to do, and quite specifically, black folks. The NBA star said conversations about race had taken over in part because our president is kind of trying to divide us. He was being interviewed by Don Lemon on CNN about a new school that he is supporting. After Trump called Don Lemon the dumbest man on television who somehow managed to make LeBron James look intelligent, which isn't easy, Melania Trump, the first lady, tweeted out support for LeBron James and said if he would like to invite her to visit the school, she'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, this seemed like the wrong week to pick on LeBron James.
Got to be just a happy home, too, don't you think, in the White House?
Oh, that part? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you saw Michael Jordan also came to LeBron's defense.
Michael's taking a lot of heat for this as being a weak response.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what he's supposed to say.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My question is this from a political standpoint, because I have family that live in Ohio. They love LeBron James.
Yeah.
They also voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So how are they feeling today about this, I wonder?
Well, and it's tough when a guy of the president's intelligence calls someone stupid. Let's get a mirror. And then,
I look really good in white.
Just won't stop. This may be my favorite story. Steven Seagal was appointed by Russian foreign ministry heads as a special representative to improve relations with the U.S. Yes, that's Steven Seagal, the one with the ponytail.
Yeah. Is he Russian? I didn't know that.
I think he was granted honorary dual citizenship.
Okay, got it.
By Putin. He's a buddy of Putin.
Oh, okay.
But if you were wondering if the Russian government misunderstands this country, The idea that Steven Seagal is going to be some sort minister of peace between the two countries.
Let's get the action, the biggest action star we know.
It's just unbelievable. That's your top six at six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. I think I'll have myself a beer.
Well, Johnson, you may not be aware of this, but it's an annual time of year where all of the Midwest stops and recognizes Biscuit the dog's birthday. Do you know about this?
I saw it all on Instagram yesterday.
Did you see the Wikipedia page, Biscuit's Wikipedia page?
I haven't seen that, no.
Sandberg, this is your sister's dog.
Correct.
Biscuit.
Biscuit, he's a mini English bulldog.
Oh, I thought he's a pit bull.
No, but you said that last year, too. Mm. So it must be.
Well, let's keep it going. I'll say it next year.
Chubby pit bull, yeah.
Yeah.
Cute dog.
So the boxer, Biscuit.
The bulldog, Biscuit.
What was it, bulldog?
The bulldog.
Are you sure this dog's not a pit bull?
I'm sure.
Has a birthday party.
Yes. And he, last year, if you recall, he's born on August 7th. And he turns,
do I?
He turned 7, so it was his golden birthday.
Oh,
so there was a big bash, okay?
Okay, right.
My sister, Biscuit's her number one baby.
Then and that's great. Who got invited to the party?
Was
David Kaplan there in a
David
white dinner
Kaplan
jacket?
Was not there. There was about 50 people and about 20 dogs and some kids. Pete Zimmerman was
invited. How do you do 20 dogs together without them tearing each other apart?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. I mean, there were a few people who said they didn't bring their dogs because their dogs don't get along with dogs. But this year, back in April, Biscuit was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So he's not a candidate for surgery, so they're doing all these alternative methods. So this year's birthday, now there was an eighth bash for his eighth birthday that probably wouldn't have taken place quite as large had he not been had the diagnosis.
That's right.
So,
he must be doing pretty well.
He's hanging in there. Yeah, he's doing a lot of those CDC oils and whatnot and in an anti-cancer diet. So he's doing good. He was in the mood for a party. It was fiesta themed. There was a taco.
How do you know when a dog's in the mood for a party?
I don't know, Pete.
Just
you were
a
there.
Feel.
Could you see? He did.
Pete, how did you score an invitation to this?
I'm one of the movers and shakers in the community.
I mean, clearly, it's Pete Zimmerman who was at this party. Would you agree it was festive and canine-like?
It was. It was very festive. There were tons of dogs, tons of kids. The dogs had sombreros.
Yeah, all the dogs had sombreros
that they wore.
All the dogs got swag bags, but none of the people did. So there was.
Do you have to bring a dog a gift?
We did, but I do know some of the gifts, she's going to let Biscuit choose which ones he wants to keep, and then they're going to donate the other ones to Live Like Rue, which is a foundation that helps dogs that are sick.
Is he registered? I mean, I know he's registered. He's a dog.
Right, right.
You mean like a Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yes, or PetSmart.
I was going to say, is there competition? Yeah. I would want my gift to be accepted by Biscuit. I don't want him to go back. So I'd be like, well, what does Biscuit like? What's a foodie? So that he chooses my gift.
So he chooses your gift, yeah. Well, Biscuit tends to be a hoarder, so he might have a difficult time giving a few up. But
what can you get this? As spoiled as this dog is, what can you get this dog that he doesn't already have?
It's
money?
Tough. But one girl that was there that she's Katie's friends with, Jenny, her dog just passed away this year, Bear.
Okay.
And so she brought Bear's last toy that she didn't want to give up, but she decided, so it was like there was crying. So it was pretty emotional. We all had to sing happy birthday. Pete was there for that. There's a photo gallery at WGMradio.com.
How long does a dog birthday party go on?
We were there from 1 to 3:30, and we left, and there was still about 30 people there. So, there was margaritas and Corona. And speaking of Corona,
I understand, Pete. There was a beer incident, and not a band I was in at Lollapalooza.
There was a beer incident.
All right, so the beer is in the refrigerator, and you did what? You opened the door and started throwing bottles against the wall?
Well, no, as Mary knows, I wouldn't call myself the life of a party. I kind of walk in.
Are you uncomfortable around strangers?
Kind of, And I don't know anybody at this party save for Mary's family.
How about the dogs? Did you know any of the dogs?
I knew Biscuit. That's
okay.
It.
All right.
So I'm going into this a little
I think it's
nervous.
Safe to say Pete would love to attend a party and have people say, was Pete even there? And he'd say, that was a great accomplishment.
You'd like not to be noticed.
Exactly.
Did you bring the dogs?
No, no, our dogs are crazy.
They did you bring eggplant?
I did not bring eggplant.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I'm coming into this thing very nervous. I open the door. I'm kind of sweating. You know, not my best look. You know?
Are you sweating because you're going to the party?
Yeah, because I'm nervous, because I don't know anybody. And I kind of I'm peering around. I don't really see anybody. I'm like, I see.
So nobody knows you. You're coming sweating. You look like a stalker.
Right, yeah.
I saw you at a party.
Yeah.
Was it a dog park? Like, and someone told me about a party?
All right, so you come in. What happened?
So I see Mary. I say hi. I say hi to Katie. But they're all busy, you know. Mm-hmm. So then, like, they all leave, and then I'm just standing there. I'm like, oh man, what am I? Oh,
you didn't drag your wife along.
No, she was actually working. I took some time off.
Cool move by her.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
So I'm like, all right, well, cups and things are out. I'm going to go grab a beer, you know, look like I'm, you know.
Yeah. And you got something to hold in your hand.
Like normal. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes,
it's
exactly.
Easier that way, right?
Yeah. So Katie, Mary's sister, tells me that the beer is like in this fridge down the way, and it's like a counter fridge, you know. It's not like
this is the party room in her building, so you know.
So
it's
this
not
is like a mini college fridge kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a little prettier than like that, but yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Condo mini fridge.
So you know, Coronas. I'm like, oh, this is great. I have a Corona.
Corona Light. She was worried about people's caloric intake.
Calm my nerves, you know. So I like bend over, I open up the door, and grab a Corona, and 50 Coronas come sliding out of the fridge.
So you created like a Corona avalanche.
What happened?
Yeah. They were
onto travertine tile.
They were in this.
They were stacked. Oh, yeah, they were stacked on their.
They were stacked,
body.
And they all rolled out.
And they all rolled out and broke.
Really?
Oh, they broke?
Glass breaking.
It glass
was
broke.
50 people, and they're all dog people, and they all talk loud. It was the loudest party I've ever been to. The second all this crashing happened, silent.
You could hear a pin drop.
And Pete's right there in the middle of the room. And he's like,
it was like a cartoon.
Did you go, hi, I'm Pete?
I didn't get a chance to say hi to everybody. Pay attention to me. what about the dogs getting into the broken glass?
There was let's keep the babies away from the glass, you know, and babies. So they did all that. Gosh. And then to my sister's credit, she's like, that's dad's fault. He put them in the wrong way. So, like, she blamed my father, but still Pete's on his hands and knees. There's a picture of him cleaning up glass and beer.
It was a good way to avoid people over an hour. I just, like, pretended like I was cleaning up the...
So everybody knew who Pete was then.
Yeah, everyone knew. And then he made an announcement to me. He said, I will never open a refrigerator in a party. Molly's going to always have to get me a drink, so...
Awesome. How long did it take to clean this mess up?
Like... 15, 20 minutes.
You know, you got to pick up the glass, and then the maintenance guy for the building had to come up and do a sweep because the dog.
Ooh, I bet he loved you.
Everybody had to go out onto the street, come back in. Yeah. Right, there's a whole thing.
And then here's the awkward part, right? Because you don't want to talk to people. You don't want to be noticed. Now you're noticed by everybody. But now for the rest of the party, people are coming up to you and telling you it's okay. It could have happened to anybody.
That's true, anybody. Yeah.
So I think the takeaway from this party was the fact that the sweat was probably right.
You should have been nervous.
Well, you should have been nervous because you knew something was going to go wrong.
Yeah, it was.
Are you sure it didn't go this way? He opens and goes, where's the damn beer? Yeah.
Is this going to be one of those stories where we see a different point of view?
Right. Is there security camera footage of this?
There probably is because everything was being filmed. Super Joe told me in the office this morning because I was telling him the story, and he said, if that happened to him, he would have left. He would have left immediately.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Super Joe, just would have walked out? Just turned around and walked out.
Peace.
Yeah, I'm
gone.
And never to be seen again. You would have dropped out of society.
Hey,
gone
fun party. My gift's on the table. Hey, Mom, is that you? You're in the hospital? Gotta go.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah. Well, I can do a mini text question out of this. The worst thing to happen to me at a party was.
Yeah,
there you go.
312-981-7200. Well, Pete, I'm sorry that happened to you. Pause. Could happen to anybody. Pause. Okay. Let's take a break. Come back with your headlines in a moment at 720 WGN. And happy birthday, Biscuit.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Dr. Kevin Most at 645 is going to join us now, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Let me go to Kev now. Good morning, Doc. Do we have him? Dr. Kevin Most.
Hold on 1 second. There we go.
Okay.
I want to say I've got edema on my thigh.
And pink stuff in your eye?
Yeah, and I need him now. Is that how it goes?
I think he does. Dr. Kevin Most, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Had a great weekend. great weekend.
See, it's the same. No matter how many people I ask how the weekend is, nobody asks me. It's unbelievable.
Did you see the email I just sent you?
Oh, what'd you send me?
So this weekend, because I have to do this shout-out. I know we're even late here, but I still have to do this shout-out. Dick Royce, the Good Humor Man. This is a guy. He's 70 years old. He retired from AT&T, I think 5 or 6 years ago, and bought a Good Humor truck.
Oh, that's cool.
And now he goes around to festivals and picnics and provides Good Humor ice cream.
He's the ice cream man.
To kids, yeah. All his profits go to St. Jude's Hospital or to other healthcare facilities.
What great is that?
He is a huge listener. I was going to put him up for Kid of the Week, to be honest with you. But
is he just north of the margin?
70 years old. He stood there for 2.5 hours while the kids were in line, made every single kid feel special.
God bless him. That's a great story. What? Give me his name again.
Dick Royce. If you Google the Good Humor Man, you'll see it. But he is just a phenomenal guy.
Sounds like it. That's a good find. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. And Dick Royce, can people hire him to come out to do that kind of charity thing?
Yep.
So just Google the Good Humor Man.
And the truck is so cool.
Yeah, but it is.
It comes up, thegoodhumorman.com, if people want to book him. It's literally a landing page.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And keep in mind, you have him for a party, he's going to turn over the profits to reasonable or to a worthy charity.
What about dog parties?
He'd probably do dog parties.
Do a dog party?
Okay, but dogs can't have ice cream, right? Oh, I guess the people could have ice cream.
Can't have chocolate.
Yeah, they might be able to have vanilla.
Yeah, they could have a bomb pop.
What about a popsicle? Well, Doc, listen, we got to talk about Parkinson's disease here, and it's a disease that's gotten some celebrity play. I'll tell you, from a personal standpoint, maybe my favorite agent of all time, a guy named Ron Simon in Minneapolis, he handled a whole bunch of well-known baseball players back in the 90s, guys like Paul Molitor and Kent Herbeck and guys like that, and also represented me and some others, Mark Zapelsa at one point. Had Parkinson's, and I remember the first time I walked into a meeting with him, I saw this little guy kind of slumped behind a desk, and biases are what they are. You see somebody in that sort of shape and you think, well, how's he gonna fight for me? He is the toughest guy I've ever met. And he had a great move. He would finish a negotiation, and if it hit a wall, he'd get up, and he said, it would take me so long to get to the door. By the time I got to the door, the person went, all right, come back. I've changed my mind. So let's start with the obvious here. Michael J. Fox, probably the most prominent person that comes to mind, but also Muhammad Ali, Linda Ronstadt. Parkinson's is what?
Yeah, and the reason we're talking, Alan Alda just came out last week about that he's had it been stricken with the disease for the last 3 years. But the sad thing about Parkinson's, it's a progressive illness. It's a progressive neurologic illness that kind of takes away a lot of your motor function, so a lot of your ability to control your movement. And that's the sad part, because, like you said, it's that sometimes that social isolation where they don't want to go out because they're embarrassed with the movements. So it's very important that people understand the disease.
So when we see Michael J. Fox and there's that constant bobbing back and forth and things, that's a result of the condition?
Yeah. So he has gotten to a point now where he has something called dyskinesias, where he has these movements that he has no control over whatsoever, and they're often very jerky movements, which we see in people after they've been on some of the medications that we use to treat Parkinson's. After a period of about 5 years being on that medication, we'll sometimes see these other bad jerky movements that are very disruptive.
Dr. Most, Parkinson's has come a long way. Of course, we'll talk after the break just a little bit more about what we know about treatments today. But in terms of the disease or the illness over time, when we look back in history, has it always been something we've recognized to be Parkinson, or as it evolved our understanding of it?
It's evolved a little bit. Probably the biggest thing is that as we're living longer, we're starting to see more people have it. But the symptoms are pretty straightforward and are pretty noticeable, so that when you see that, you kind of have a great idea of what it is. There's no blood test for it. There's no other test. The physician is going to make the diagnosis based on your symptoms, what you're telling him in a physical exam. So we really haven't advanced there. We're still trying to look for things. Do we have markers that we can find this earlier? There's a little genetic component to it, but there's often people that don't have a genetic component to it. So real important that we haven't advanced as much in Parkinson's as we need to. So I'm even going to make a pitch for donations to actually to advance this research, and we'll talk about some of the cool things that are that they're doing.
Including something called deep brain stimulation. Again, not a band I was in. That's an actual medical thing.
What seems to be the problem?
Bicycle accident. Fractured tibia about 5 inches below patella.
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
Do you concur?
Concur with
what, sir?
With what Dr. Ashland just said. Do you concur?
Well, it was a bicycle accident. The boy told us.
So you concur?
He's Northwestern Medicine.
Looked like a bicycle accident to me.
Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Let's go back to Doc. Dr. Kev Most, we're talking about Parkinson's. Sandberg, say hi.
Hey, Kev. So the, I know you said for the people that medicine is no longer working, the oral, they have the deep brain stimulation.
Yeah. It's really cool. So people will often take the medication. So in Parkinson's, we have in our brain, we have these cells called substantia nigra, and they produce dopamine. That's the chemical that we need to have good body movement. As that starts to decrease, we can sometimes give them dopamine, but it gets to a point where that medication may not work, so that we do something called deep brain stimulation, which is so cool. It is essentially a pacemaker that goes in your brain. So a power source is put in your chest here, and wires go up into your brain, and then a combination of neurologists and neurosurgeons place that where the damage is done. And what it does is it turns off those cells from causing the jerky movements. We're very fortunate. I can tell you CDH does more DBS than any other hospital in the state. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Michael Rizak, Dr. Josh Rosenau, Dr. Taras Masnik. They are the experts in DBS. And I'll tell you, if you want to see something absolutely dramatic, YouTube someone with Parkinson's and DBS, and you will see the changes that that can make. It doesn't work for 100% of the people, but the ones it works, it's unbelievable.
Sounds incredibly complex. Is this like a you know, one of your more complex neurological procedures, or is it pretty down to, I don't want to say, you know, routine, but they know what they're doing, obviously.
Yeah, they know they definitely know what they're doing. The amazing thing is this surgery is done while the patient's awake.
Oh. While you're awake, you have your brain being operated while you're awake.
Yes. And they're going to tell you, make this movement, do this movement. People have to realize that we don't have a lot of sensation in our brain. The sensation is all in the skin and the scalp.
Right.
But once we get into the brain, there aren't nerves to cause you to say it hurts.
So literally,
you're going to the dentist.
You have to have the patient respond to those directives so you can see what part of the brain is working?
Correct. They want to make sure that those electrodes are in the exact same place where the damage is. They have a very good idea because we have mapped the brain, but they want to get that as close to the area that's causing, whether it's a tremor in the hand, whether it's a tremor in the leg, whether it's a tremor in the jaw. They want to get to the point where they're at the exact point where they can turn that off to stop those tremors.
So, Kevin, you said it doesn't always work for everyone. Do they know ahead of time if you're a candidate for that, or do you not know until you're in there working on the brain?
Yeah, you're a candidate if you fail on the medication after a while, but they won't know whether they have gotten it to the exact place. So that's why some people will fail a little bit, which is unfortunate.
Dr. Most, final question. I saw the piece on Michael J. Fox just recently on CBS Sunday Morning, and he talked about, you know, whether or not there would be a cure for Parkinson's disease in his lifetime, and he is pessimistic, but there had been such money and research that is now available to help, like we're talking about today, with the actual preventative or treatment. Do you see the medical community moving towards a cure, or will it always be trying to treat the symptoms of Parkinson?
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm probably right in the boat with him. I'm not sure, unless we can get to the genetic background of why these cells are being killed, I think it's going to be more tell me what we can do as far as treatment. The tough thing is, too, when we talk about the dopamine treatment, that is taking away the symptoms, but it really isn't doing anything to stop the progression of the disease. One of the few things that have been shown to stop the progression of the disease is something called rock steady boxing. They've shown that if you get these individuals and you get them in this very active mode early on, it can actually slow the progression of Parkinson's.
Wow. So it's
another one that's great.
That's a specific exercise related to the condition.
Correct. It's a specific class with trainers. As a matter of fact, they often will train people early on with Parkinson's to be trainers, to take that on and to make sure that it gets in more places.
That's cool.
You want the people to be able to do this locally. So it's a non-for-profit. You know, they look for donations as well so that they can train more people and have more classes for these individuals who have been diagnosed early.
And again, one of the things that is an early marker is in times of stress, rubbing your thumb and forefinger together.
Yeah, you'll see people that rub their fingers together there, their thumb. It'll often be, you know, we all feel tired on Monday morning, you know, but if you feel tired all the time, you have difficulty getting up out of a chair. If someone says, you're walking a little bit unusual, you don't have to seem to have the arm swing. People say, I look at your face and I don't see expressions anymore. Those are all signs of Parkinson's early and definitely should at least be followed up.
All right, you want to plug donations. Who do we donate to?
Well, you know what? I think Rocksteady Boxing is great. They have rocksteadyboxing.org. That is one that is going to get to the people locally in the community and make an impact on their day-to-day life. And then the Michael J. Fox, as well as the Parkinson's, they're the ones doing the research to say, how can we identify this early and what's the cure going to be? So the two areas there, one is what can I do for people now locally, and then what can we do in the future?
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Sandberg, when do those notes go up from the doc?
10 minutes from now. It'll be at WGNradio.com and on our Facebook page.
All right. Thanks, Doc.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
See you later. Great stuff as always. 7 o'clock. Back with the news in a moment. 720 WGN.
I got it. I'm Pat Stitt.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Got a very special guest coming up and the most valuable person on the planet. How do we tease this, Sandberg? How do I say this without saying this?
The number 16.
Okay. Mm. He was talked about last hour?
He was talked about last hour. He did not spill beer at Katie's dog's birthday party.
Mm-hmm. However, we do have a texter, awkward things that happened at a party. 912, I got drunk at a party in Germany and threw up in the bathroom. The Germans were impressed that I cleaned up after myself. The next time I saw them, they gave me a non-alcoholic Beck's with a pink ribbon on it.
That's great.
There you go. Awkward things that happened to you at
call
a party.
Back.
Nice. For you comedians, that's funnier than you think it is. At 7:13, look who's in the studio. It's our friend Nick Lorenz. Nick, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you, Steve?
It's great to see you. You spokesperson extraordinary. I'm going to tell you something, Nick, and I mean this. You are the best spokesperson for a cause I have ever seen. We have a lot of people come through this studio. You do a wonderful job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How have you been?
Good. Well, now me and my dad were officially a Knights of Columbus.
Are you a member now?
Yep.
Congratulations. That's
now,
a big deal.
You're going to call me Sir Nick now.
We could call you Sir Nick.
Oh, because he's been knighted.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, this is how it starts.
You and Paul McCartney.
Can you introduce your friend here to the right? Your right?
Well, this is my friend, Alex. She works in the Lombard office with my friend Shelley, who's in charge of the Duck Derby.
Right. And you guys are here to talk about the Duck Derby. And,
that's correct.
Which benefits who?
The Special Olympics, Illinois.
And did you ever meet a guy like Nick?
I have never met an athlete or a person in general like Nick. He is amazing. I don't know that he has any strangers in his life.
No.
I think he's friends with everyone.
The mayor should know as many people as you know, Nick. Mm-hmm. So explain how the Duck Derby works, and then we'll ask Nick what the secret is.
Okay, so we are doing the Duck Derby again for Special Olympics Illinois. It's our 13th year. We're going to have 60,000 rubber ducks splash off the Wabash Bridge this year. That's new.
Oh, that is new.
We do the Columbus Bridge, but as it's under construction, we had to move locations. So they'll race towards State Street. We still have a big family fest out at 400 North Michigan, and that starts at 10. 10 o'clock on Thursday, and then splashdown's at 1 again off the Wabash Bridge.
Now, eventually, somebody's going to have a duck pulled with their number on it. What are they going to win?
Yeah, they can win a new Chevy Equinox.
How about that?
Hey. Oh, how about that?
Chevy dealers getting it done.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And this year's spokesperson under the tutelage of Nick is Jack Clawater.
Yes, yeah. Jack is unfortunately on vacation, or he'd be here repping with Nick. But right. Yeah, you can see him at the river on August 9th. He'll be pulling out that winning duck.
Now, here's what I do every year, and I challenge everybody listening to do the same, but certainly all the deadbeat radio personalities in town. Sure. Like,
especially
you know,
us,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, not you guys, the other shows.
Okay.
There are different levels, different amounts of ducks you can buy. Each duck has a number, which increases your chance of winning.
Yes.
All right, so what's a quack pack?
A quack pack is six ducks for $25.
Six for 25. So if I bought four quack packs, that'd be $100.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Awesome.
I'm in.
Look at that.
Nick, you just sold so many ducks.
Yeah, you just sold me 24 ducks, Nick. And by the way, Nick, here's the rest of this. If I win the car, it's going to you, buddy. You get the car. Because you know what? Chicks dig guys with new Chevys.
All right.
Nick's mom is here. And who else is here with you guys today?
My friend Gina.
Gina, look at you, buddy. Getting it done. All right, Nick, let's remind people. What are your sports?
Bocce, golf, volleyball. Well, I started my first practice on Tuesday.
Oh, for volleyball?
Yeah.
You had like 14 other sports, Dave, didn't he?
No, and well, I mean, that's a lot already.
Yeah, but are you getting old now, Nick? You're aging out of some of these sports. You can't go physically the way you used to? How old are you now, Nick?
23.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, best years behind you. Sore when you wake up in the morning, Nick?
Never.
Steve, you're talking about yourself.
Oh, that's true. I am talking about myself, aren't I?
Hey, Nick, what do you have to do to prepare for those sports? As an athlete, what's your regimen? What's your routine to get ready for, say, golf or bocce or even volleyball?
Well, exercise is the important thing, and stay, drink lots of water and keep cool and wear a lot of sunscreen.
What's your best sport?
Here's the news. Well, our bocce ball down at state got canceled this year because of the heat.
Oh, because of the heat. But what is that the one you enjoy the most?
Yeah.
I thought you were a golfer. I thought you and I were golfing, buddies.
Yeah, what's that medal for that you're wearing, Nick?
Well, me and my dad, we did a tournament up in Chicago Heights, Illinois for Special Olympics. We had a golf tournament.
Excellent.
And how'd you do?
We got second place.
All right.
We lost by two strokes.
All right.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. Yeah,
that's very impressive.
Nick, are you ever going to play with Steve, or is he don't have a good enough handicap?
Yeah,
for you?
Probably not. I don't probably have the game to compete with you and your dad.
Yeah,
of course Steve does.
Okay. So Nick has my back.
It's a challenge, Steve.
All right, there, I'm in,
a challenge. That doesn't he doesn't have your back. He wants to play against you. It sounds like
exactly right. All right, again, you can adopt a duck for $5, a quack pack for $25, a flock of ducks for $100, or 240 ducks for $1,000. They're also selling these cool red T-shirts that everybody wears. It's working for the organization. Where do I get those? Same place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can buy one on race day.
And where will the headquarters of Race Day be?
We'll be down right at 400 North Michigan. You can buy a T-shirt. You can adopt your ducks. You come hang out with Nick.
We do. You know, I don't know that we do this all the time. We need to thank the city for the cooperation as well, right? Because it's a big deal.
Yeah, they're great partners. We really appreciate all the support making this happen.
It's really fun to watch the ducks get, I forget what you call it, when they get dumped in the water.
Splash down
there.
Look at you. Look at you.
Nick said it a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Can I explain what we had over the weekend in Chicago?
Of course. What'd you have?
Well, Special Olympics just had their 50th anniversary in Chicago. So, Ron Emanuel, the mayor, was there. So I yelled to him, said, "Go, Ron Emanuel." And then he pointed right at me.
You know what? He should be, because he's not as famous as you are, but he's running again, and he could use your help.
Yeah, I want to give a big shout-out to Ron Emanuel. I want to tell him thanks for coming out to the 50th.
There you go.
And I know he did a great job talking.
And am I right about this? Wasn't it one of the Kennedy sisters that was crucial in starting Special Olympics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eunice Kennedy Shriver.
Right. And without her push, including her Bush of her brother prior to the organization even kicking off, none of this would be possible.
It's very true. Yeah, we're very thankful to the Kennedy Foundation.
Thanks for all the work you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nick's working hard, too. He sold 2,000 ducks so far this year.
All right.
Well, 2024, buddy. Yeah.
Well, special pictures here at a Cubs game yesterday at Wrigley Field. We got tickets to the rooftop.
Nice. Oh, cool. You know what, Nick? I don't feel like 24 is enough. How about I go to 50? 50 ducks. What's that going to cost me? $210. I'll take 200 of that from Dave. We'll be all good.
Yeah, we're good.
Wow. What are you saying, Nick?
Thank you, guys.
All right, and you'll take those 50 ducks and hand those numbers out to whoever you want.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, listen, again, one more time, the website to go to is?
ChicagoDuckyDerby.com.
Nick, I will link it on our website, too.
You'll put it up?
Yep.
Okay, and also at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Nick, last words to you, buddy. What do you want to say?
I will say, Nick, thanks for letting us come out today. And
Nick, you're welcome anytime here, dude. You just come up. What do you think of the new studio?
I like it.
How about the view?
I love the view.
Right? Yeah. We put this lake in when we heard you were coming.
Well, I heard that Jake from Fox News is getting married in Europe.
Is that right? You're going over to Fox now, right? Do a little TV?
We are.
There you go.
Look at you, Nick. Multimedia Nick, you superstar.
Today he's coming back. He wants my job. He wants to do sports.
I told Nick off the air, we're trying to get Dave to retire so Nick can slide into the hole. But Dave's just not taking a hit.
Well, my dad went to the Hall of Fame ceremony the other night.
Oh, come on, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
That's
well, that's very cool.
Well, I didn't get to go because it's very far away.
Well, plus, you're working, dude. You're working. You had to come in and see your pal Steve.
Derby
week. Well, I work at a restaurant in downtown Frankfort called Trail's Edge. It used to be a barbecue restaurant.
And you're working at a movie theater as well?
Yes, sir.
Boy, your mom's cracking the whip. No more laying around for you, pal. Nick Lorenz, you got a great family, Nick, and you're a good dude, and you're always welcome here.
So far on Wednesday, when I was working at Marcus,
what happened on Wednesday?
I counted over 45 leftover tickets.
What'd you do with the tickets?
I counted all the tickets.
Okay.
So far, my goal is to get 60 tickets now.
All right. Well, listen, if you set a goal, you always achieve it. Well, by the way, can I have my poster that you made for me?
Sure.
Right there in front of you, if you'd hand that over. That's a very cool poster. And Sandberg, maybe you can get that online as well.
I will, for sure.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Great seeing you.
Great seeing you too, Steve.
And thanks for bringing all your friends.
Thanks so much for having us.
All right.
And go Cubs.
Go Cubs and White Sox and everybody else. And I'm going to sign up for the Quack Pack Plus 2 right now online at duckrace.com/Chicago.
And go Northwestern.
Look at this.
That's right. Go Cats.
Listen, I don't know that we need you, Dave. Time to step aside.
And go Special Olympics.
That's exactly right.
Got them all.
What a rock star. 7:23. Stand by. Special guest coming up in a second. Not a special as Nick, but I mean, he's okay. And the most valuable person on the planet.
Now the Hawks break back. Here's Savard coming over the line. Savard threw it in front. Taken by Bob Murray to Wolchek. Right in. He scores! What a brilliant passing play for the Blackhawks on the power play. They capitalize at some tic-tac-toe in the North Star zone. Makes it 3-2 Chicago.
Here come the Hawks. The mighty Blackhawks.
Single game tickets go on sale today, and that's an important thing for you to know. We'll mention that again, but that's not the reason we're talking now. The reason we're talking now is Sandberg and her lovely and talented husband, Pat, were at a fantastic wedding this weekend.
We were put on by the Bozen family and the Olcheks.
And the reason being, Eddie the Third?
Eddie, well, yes, he's the third
fourth,
Eddie.
Fifth, sixth, seventh, we don't know, we've lost track, got married.
He did.
What's the bride's name?
Erica.
Beautiful, I'm sure.
They were, you know, first of all, their hearts were huge. There's never been more love in a room than was at this wedding on Saturday night. But they also happened to be very attractive people. It was a Ken and Barbie situation.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
And we, of course, have followed the journey of our friend Eddie Olchek from knowing 1 year ago how sick he was.
Yeah, so crazy story. At 7:05, we're sitting in the cocktail hour and we're talking to Eddie. And Eddie asked Pat, what time is it right now? And he said, it's 7:05. And he said, at 7:07, a year ago today,
wow,
I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer.
Almost to the minute.
Literally, like, yes.
Wow,
wow.
So, Eddie, on this show and in others, when folks were asking how he was doing, never failed to mention his wife.
Yep.
Who is today the most valuable person on the planet.
Diana Olchek.
Because not only did she help take care of our friend Eddie Olchek and help nurse him back to health, she also was helping plan a wedding.
Plan a wedding, yeah. And she was so, she was like a blonde Jackie Kennedy. She has this like stoic grace as she carried herself around the room. And you know what, weddings, like, the bride is the most important, and then there's the mother of the bride, and then but there's the mother of the groom, who she is raised. They have a lovely daughter, but they have three sons. All three sons spoke. They cried every single, like, they raised these sensitive, amazing humans.
How about that?
And I think she gets all the credit.
There you go. Most valuable person on the planet. Let's see if Edzo agrees. How do you like our choice, Eddie?
Wow.
I mean, come
today
on,
is
right?
Our 30th, and today is our 30th anniversary.
Come on!
My wife and the lovely and talented Diana Olchek. So, Mary, thank you so much for that. Yeah, it was, Steve, great to be with you. Yeah, it was an amazing weekend, and, you know, just so many emotions going through, not only for, most importantly, Eddie and Erica and the Bozen family and the Olchek family, but you know me personally in the journey over the course of the last year and where I was. And look, on that August 4th, you know, date of 2017, I didn't know if I was going to make it to, you know, January 1st, let alone, you know, be around for my son's wedding. And to be there, it was just a great celebration. And August the 4th will have a much different meaning moving forward now.
How about that?
The 17 one is in a rearview mirror. So it was just a great weekend. And now I get to celebrate with my beautiful wife, and we get to celebrate and talk about the last 30 years and our journey together. And she was the rock and will continue to be the rock, because she was the one that picked me up when I wanted it. You know, I just couldn't take it anymore. And people out there that are battling cancer or any other disease, you know, they know that the caretakers and caregivers are so important in these journeys that we, you know, we go through together. And she was there when I needed her, and I never saw her weak. I never saw her down. And when I wanted to give up because I just couldn't take everything that was coming with the battle, she just looked me in the eyes and just said, look, fight for me, fight for our kids, and fight for all the people that love you. And, you know, when you have your the most important person in your life telling you that, you take a step back, you take a deep breath, and then you realize you just go day to day. And it's been incredible. So it's been a celebration for sure, the course of the last couple of days. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, yeah, the rewards keep coming, right? Now you have this beautiful daughter-in-law. The family gets bigger. And the in-laws, I'm sure, are great. So you're a blessed man. You know that.
Yeah, very, very lucky, Steve. Yeah, I mean, this I said during my speech on Saturday was, you know, we knew that they're meant for each other. And yeah, they've had their ups and downs like everybody else, and they went apart for a period of time. But you know, we just knew that it was inevitable. And yeah, we live about 180 yards from the Bozen family.
Oh, is that right?
So yeah, so we've known each other a long, long time, and it was just they did an amazing job on Saturday, and you know, we had the rehearsal dinner on Friday, so it was just it was great. And yeah, we welcome Erica, and as my daughter said in her speech at the rehearsal dinner on Friday, is you know, she's a sister she never had, that she's welcoming her to our family at her age of 22. So it was great. Yeah, so just very thankful, very lucky. And they're getting ready to head to, which I really can't believe it, they're going to Bora Bora tonight. So
wow.
Well, why not? I could not tell. I'm not really sure, like, the, you know, the direction, or I know they're going to California, then
it's
going
left
to
it's left, yeah, of, right, from exactly, where you're standing, yeah, right now, just go left till you get there.
I tried to punch it in on my map, and I don't think I even got a response from my map.
I gotta say, driving there from here would make it kind of a problem. Dave Ennett, say hi to Edzo.
That would be news.
Hey Eddie, congratulations, and thanks. Having seen both my kids walk down the aisle, I know it. I can't imagine the emotion for you, because I know just when you see them walk into the room or walk down the aisle, that's an emotional moment.
It's a life change.
No, with, Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what was going aside from everything you've been through, just to see your son as happy as I'm sure he was.
Well, you should have seen him, Dave, because Eddie can attest. Young Eddie was standing up there taking these giant breaths like he was overcome himself. The little Eddie getting married. It was like the cutest thing. You want your groom to be so excited. It's like he's up there so nervous. It was adorable.
Yeah, Mary, it really was. I mean, it took me back 30 years ago, really, David, when my wife came walking down that aisle. And it's just, look, as parents, all we want for our kids is to be healthy and to be happy.
Right.
And,
amen.
And to see my oldest son feeling and looking that way, it just was like, wow, you know, like that's really, when you really look at the big picture, it doesn't matter anything other than when your kids are good, you're great as a parent. And I my mom and dad shared that with me many, many years ago. And as a kid, you know, you kind of just, you know, like anything else, right? Like you learn in life, you go through experiences and you gain as you get older. And, you know, you just realize like, wow, you know, okay, as long as your kids are okay, you're in a great place. And when they're hurting or whatever, and then you're, you know, you're right there with them. So for me, David, it was, I was like, you know what? It's awesome to see my son on that particular day fulfilling something that he wanted, and he's happy, and Erica's happy, and that's all that matters.
Well, listen, buddy, it's great hearing from you. Proud papa. Take a rest. You don't have to go to Bora Bora. And I actually asked Sandberg, I said, how did Eddie look? Is he still pretty? And she said, you look fabulous.
I owe Mara another hug, so I appreciate it.
There you go. And one for your wife, too, the most valuable person on the planet.
You know what? I was a lucky guy meeting her on an airplane back in January of 1985 when I was a rookie in the National Hockey League. And I knew when I first saw her and then talked to her that she was going to be a part of my life forever. And I'm lucky to say that we're 30 years strong, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm a lucky guy, not only because of the beauty on the outside, but on the inside, it's endless. So I'm very lucky. So
smart guy. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day, everybody. Thank
you. See you later. And totally separate issue, nothing to do with what was just discussed. But while we're on the topic, Hawks single game tickets available today, starting at 10.
How about that?
Pictures on the web of this fine wedding.
No
Instagram stuff? Then nobody throwing those up or anything?
I have a picture with me and Eddie on my personal Instagram, but I don't know if anyone cares.
I just figured they'd be showing off this good-looking crew.
Just to clarify, preseason single game tickets.
Oh, is that what I said?
At 10 o'clock this morning.
That was my point, Dave, the entire time.
Well, I know that.
We all knew what Steve meant.
Underlining.
Yeah, that's totally what I meant to say. All right, quick break. Back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
From our brand new home,
we're about to witness the greatest miracle of the machine age.
The Allstate Skyline Studio.
Did you hear me? We got to risk a full power start.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Thank you, Anna DeVlantis. Pat Brady coming up. Did the president admit to a crime this weekend? And did he admit to collusion? And what does it all mean? He went on Twitter crazy yesterday morning and may have dug a bigger hole than he's ever been in. We'll talk to Brady about that. But this may be my favorite story of the weekend. Steven Seagal was appointed by the Russian Foreign Ministry as a special representative to improve relations with the United States. Well, I mean, come on, with that kind of talent.
We work as a team around here.
You know, the way I work is I just kind of like to solve the case. I don't really care who gets the credit.
Yeah, because he's a giver. Steven Seagal, the great thespian that we know and love as the guy who is key to Russia and the United States getting along.
Well, you know, it's only four of you guys, and you only have one shot left in here, you know?
As far as Steven Seagal goes, his best work may be yet to come.
Senator Vernon Trent promises no new taxes.
And you can take that to the bank.
I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
Come on.
To the blood bank.
That's great.
Gonna take you to the bank. The blood bank.
Steven Seagal is. There is no collusion.
Steven Seagal. That would be a hot action film.
Right.
Steven Seagal, the key. There's only two assumptions you can make here. One is that Russia is so clueless about what we care about in this country, they think Steven Seagal is a good idea, or they're trying to sow more discord in America by putting Steven Seagal in the negotiation.
I think our whole world is having some weird stunted growth moment where all that matters is what happened in the 80s. So it's Steven Seagal, so it's bizarre. Donald Trump, like everything about it. And so it doesn't, I'm not surprised that they're like, who's a big action star?
And now tomorrow,
Steven Seagal.
We've all got to wear our members only jackets.
I watched Beverly Hills Cop, and another one, I mentioned this with Die Hard as well, obsessed with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
The Beverly Hills Cop, just nonchalant. There's Uzis and machine guns everywhere. There's probably 10,000 bullets in that movie.
Beverly Hills Cop, if not for the hideous 80s music, would stand up better. But there is only one decade that music could be assigned to, and it's
just
the 80s.
They love the shit. Like, this is Nazi. You wonder why we're so obsessed with guns and it's a gun culture right now. You look at these huge movies of the 80s, and they just, it has nothing to do with the plot. It's just like, you know, with two guys up there shooting Uzis, and then Eddie Murphy makes a funny joke, then more Uzis, then Eddie Murphy joke, Uzis.
You remember 48 Hours, how violent that thing was.
The good news for is in, you know, 15 or 20 years, The Rock, your love obsession,
who doesn't use guns,
he will he could be up for this role that Steven Seagal has now been given.
The Rock kills people with his pecs.
Yeah,
he does.
He just pec flexes and it knocks him out cold. all right, Pat Brady, on the legal side, the prosecutorial side of the president's tweet storm.
Listen to Pat Brady. Listen to Pat Brady. He's really going to blow your mind because he's seldom wrong, just right. Yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
Before Pat Brady was a big deal in politics, he was a federal prosecutor. So I want to get some legal insight from Pat on what the president did yesterday. Did he make it worse for him? Did he make it worse for Trump Jr., as in Donald Trump Jr.? Or is this not a thing? Here's the tweet. Fake news reporting, a complete fabrication that I am concerned about the meeting my wonderful son Donald had in Trump Tower. This is the important part. This was a meeting to get information on an opponent, totally legal, and done all the time in politics, and went nowhere. I did not know about it. Forget about the blatant lie that he did not know about it. His own people have said he absolutely knew about it. And he has even admitted to the same at different times. When you lie constantly, you forget what your lies are. But the part that's most concerning, if you're on the Trump side of the agenda, this was a meeting to get information on an opponent. There's a federal law that says foreign governments cannot be contacted, or you cannot solicit the same for help against an opponent in an election. Or for those reasons. So let's get Pat in here to try to explain what the government's looking for here. And is this something or is it nothing, Pat?
No, it's absolutely something. A couple things. Remember, he's under investigation, or his campaign is, for conspiracy to conspire with a foreign government to interfere with the campaign. And secondly, he is under investigation for obstruction of justice. So you laid it out perfectly why it would implicate him in the conspiring with a foreign government. But to me, this is just another piece of evidence in the timeline of obstruction, because he's told so many lies about this meeting. I mean, what they're trying to prove up with obstruction is that he impeded the lawful administration of justice, and lying like he's done over the last year is just another piece of that puzzle they're putting together on that giant timeline they have in somebody's office, in Mueller's office, trying to prove exactly what the president was thinking when he was doing all these things.
Yeah, and this is the reason that you're so valuable to us here, by way of this analysis, because what you're hearing again and again and again is talk of a campaign finance violation. That's small potatoes compared to the obstruction talk, right?
Well, the obstruction talk, to me, at least against the president, was always the clearest and easiest charge. The collusion or conspiracy with a foreign government to interfere in our campaign, that's a pretty tough case to prove just because of the location of witnesses and documents and electronic information. But obstruction, what obstruction is, and you have to remember this, is Did the president try to interfere with this investigation? Now, they will say he had the authority to fire Bob Mueller and do other things, but you don't have the authority as president to interfere with a federal investigation, particularly one that's investigating you. And there's you can literally, and I've been saying this for 2 years, there's a timeline, and everything he does, from these tweets to the statements he makes to the threats to the Rosenstein to the statements about shutting the investigation down, the prosecutors are trying to figure out exactly what his intent was. And did he intend corruptly to interfere with this investigation? If he did, they'll likely charge him with obstruction of justice. Again, it's the president, so you got to have a pretty good case. But every time he does something like this, his lawyers' heads have to be exploding, because it just puts him, in this case, the worst part is, it puts him closer to the collusion, right, or the Russian conspiracy. Plus, he basically dimed his kid out here. He admitted this meeting was for the purpose of getting dirt, which violates all kinds of laws.
Now, Pat, I have a question. Just the Trump administration, or at least Trump's legal team, has said over time that nothing came of this meeting. That this meeting, they knew the minute that it was going on that this was, you know, that nothing happened. So that seems to be somewhat of their defense, the idea that there was nothing that came of this meeting. Is that a defense?
No, it's not. It's the attempt to do it can also be the charge. But that, I think, and the defense lawyers got to do what defense lawyers do. But a lot did come from this meeting, maybe not necessarily substantive action from the Russians. But the campaign, Trump gave a speech shortly after this telling everybody that they had all kinds of information on Hillary. There's a timeline of how all this went down. A lot of things actually did happen, maybe not exactly what was intended or came out of the meeting, but other things did. So that's their argument, but it doesn't matter.
Okay, let me save you some text time and tweet time, folks. For everybody that wants to text the show and go, yeah, but Obama, yeah, but Hillary, the president of the United States is Donald Trump. The actions that are most important to you and to me, to everybody in this country, are what Donald Trump did and what he will do. That is what I'm concerned with. You want to go after Obama for something, do it. You want to go after Hillary for something, do it. But don't act like they're equal, because the guy in charge right now is the guy that obstructed this investigation and continues to impede the search for truth. Does this speed up Mueller's investigation at all, or not change it?
I think with Mueller, nothing that the president does speeds up or changes his investigation. I think I've mentioned to this before. My first case 20 years ago was with Bob Mueller as a prosecutor. There's nobody. He's methodical. He's smart. He's going to do it the right way. So whatever the president does, it maybe helps him in that there's another piece of evidence, another piece of the puzzle, but he's going to do it on the timeline that's dictated by what the facts they find in the course of their investigation. I don't think Mueller pays attention to any of this.
Last thing legally, Rick Gates is quite possibly going to be on the witness stand today in the Manafort trial. Those guys were best buddies. Gates was his right hand. Gates now breaking bad on him and telling prosecutors in the Manafort trial everything they need to hear to try to keep his tail out of prison. Aside from the horrific hire of Paul Manafort, if in fact it was an accident, and his buddy Gates, and all the ugly things that Gates can reveal on the stand today, does this increase the legal jeopardy, or is this all about Manafort and Gates?
I haven't found this pretty close. This is all about Manafort and Gates. And in the Manafort case is basically a document or electronic document case on tax evasion, money laundering, those kind of things. I don't think it does anything other than the fact that Manafort was in this July 8th meeting that was the subject of these tweets. But I don't think Manafort knows anything, because I'm sure they squeezed him to death. And he doesn't want to look. If he's going to trial, I just don't think he has anything. I may be wrong on this, but I'm sure that they've tried to proffer him, or they've had attorney proffers. Right. And you're not much use after you've been convicted.
Right. Right.
As a witness.
Yeah, it's next. Pat Brady, thank you for all that. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. It's 8:01. We're back with the news in just a moment. And then Dean. Oh, I saw Mission Impossible this weekend.
Oh, yeah. How
was and it? As good as advertised.
Really?
With a cameo in the first 10 minutes that is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. There's your hype for that. Dean will tell us more about what's happening in show business coming up on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, good.
It is is 8:15. Time for Moron Entertainment, because everyone's never get enough information.
Everyone's favorite feature.
Absolutely. Our friend Pete Zimmerman intentionally destroyed a biscuit the dog's birthday party. No, not intentionally. Pete pulled a beer out of a beer
fridge. Mini fridge.
That was stacked in a way to cause Pete to have great embarrassment and humiliation. And I believe he said 50 beers fell on the floor?
Yeah, about 50. Mm. I think maybe 10 broke. Crashing. It was an avalanche of Corona lights falling to the travertine tile floor.
And Pete just wanted to come into the party, not be noticed, and leave.
Yep.
He was then the most noticed guy at the party, including Biscuit the dog.
And Dean, there was 20 dogs there and babies. So the second glass shatters and beer goes everywhere, then there's the screaming of, keep the babies away from the glass and the beer.
So the dog's slurping up the beer.
Right. Well, that's why they were wearing the tipsy sombreros that they all had on their heads.
I did see a picture of that.
There's a photo gallery at WGNRadio.com where you can see Pete picking up the beer and the glass off the floor.
So. We're hoping he gets help.
I was a mere ute working at the A&P grocery store in Hyde Park, I was stacking a big display of beer. Probably like, 10 cases high, 10, 12 cases high, and it fell, like 12 cases of beer fell on the...
That must have been loud.
No, that was pretty loud and messy.
The text question, the awkward things that have happened to you at a party, 630, I went to a bachelor party, when the stripper showed up, turned out to be the bride's sister and the maid of honor.
What? No way, that's like a sitcom.
Oops, never saw that coming. More on entertainment featuring today a wrap-up of Lollapalooza. You were there all weekend, I'm sure, Dean.
Oh, I was in the mosh pitting all weekend. Mm-hmm. Mosh pitting out in that heat.
Mm-hmm. Bruno Mars record crowd?
Yes. Bruno Mars, they say, largest crowd ever at a stage at Lollapalooza. I don't know how they estimate those counts. I've never been able to figure out.
Somebody, the act on stage goes, everyone, take a number and count off now. One, two,
start
three.
Left to right. But everyone, every single review that I've read, I wasn't there for Bruno Mars, but everybody just saying what an amazing show that it was.
Yeah, well, he's ridiculous. He's so good. And an act got shut down early, I heard. Do we know about this?
I have not heard that, no.
Yeah, so apparently one act got the crowd a little too revved up, and they had to pull the plug, at least temporarily. I think it may have been Air Supply.
How great would that be?
I'm
that
all crowd. Out of love. Hey, back it down a notch.
Lost in love, and I don't know why.
I tell you, the most amazing...
How sad is it that we know Air Supply songs by heart?
The most amazing thing you could possibly see outside of watching the changeover from ice to hardwood floor for basketball at the United Center when there's two games on the same day is the Lollapalooza cleanup. These guys are unbelievable the way they clean that park up.
Are you guys able to see it from our new perch in the sky?
We're going out east, so we can't see it.
From the other room, if I open the window and hang Justin out and hold onto his ankles, he can see. And don't think I haven't thought of it.
In the next segment.
just to be your, I want to be your Lil Pump contributor. Mm-hmm. Lil Pump was the artist whose act was shut down.
And what do we know?
He is a rapper, and it was cut down to 45. The set had already been cut down to 45 minutes.
Was he encouraging raucous shenanigans? Was that the problem?
I'm not sure.
Were there hooligans?
Yeah.
Was there tomfoolery?
It looks like it's just that they had a lot of hard times getting the set started. There was an overheating of a DJ's laptop and all that kind of stuff.
He just
kept going, and then there were boos and people
throwing
water bottles at the stage. So it wasn't shut down because he had them too hyped. I think it was shut down because he
couldn't get cranked.
He couldn't get it cranked up.
You know what it was? It was the act before him, Big Pump.
Big Pump open for Lil Pump?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They work as a team. Actually, Lil Pump, I can't believe we're talking about this, posted his response to this.
Yeah, what did Lil Pump say?
Lil Pump tweeted after they shut his show down, Lollapalooza, listen up. That was some blank blank. Y'all stopped my whole set because everyone was blanking mosh pitting too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says, Once he got on stage, the crowd quickly turned into a frenzy. Crushed people were pulled into the photo pit left and right. One girl started vomiting. Another sobbing hysterically. A small boy, maybe 10, was one of those rescued.
Wow.
His response, he continues, that people were fainting. He says he stopped the show.
I love this argument.
Because everybody was fainting, and they still cut off my set because everybody was mosh-pitting too hard. It was about to cause a riot.
They didn't do that to my cousin, Medium Pump. Medium Pump got to finish his set.
That's exactly why I don't want
middle
kids
child
at Lollapalooza. Right
middle
there.
Child. Actually, there's a sad story coming out of Lollapalooza this morning of a 16-year-old boy from Mundelein whose body was found unresponsive this morning in the 300 block of East Randolph Street. He was taken to Northwestern, where it's reported that he died. So
wait. Taken this morning.
Found him overnight, right?
Yeah. After the park had closed. It's not 100% clear to me whether or not it was on the grounds or just out of the grounds, because the 300 block
that's not
of Randolph Street.
Police are saying it was on the grounds.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a 16 years old. There's some questions that need to be answered there.
Well, you know, there is, you know, Lollapalooza is a lot of fun. Everybody, you know, a lot of great music. People have a good time. They really need to do something about people overindulging in lots of things. And I mean young kids. I saw it over the weekend like crazy. People just overindulging in alcohol and drugs and lots of things like that. So it's a horrible, horrible story that this has happened. And, you know, hopefully this, you know, if there's going to be anything positive to come from this, they'll be some kind of stricter enforcement.
You know, money talks, obviously. Do you have any idea what kind of money is made on Lollapalooza weekend for the city, for the producers? Have you seen any of those numbers?
I haven't seen them in years, but it is it's a financial windfall for the city. They make tons of money, as does the company that brings all of this in called L3. They organize it, promote it. They do the whole thing. They're the ones that are going to pay for whatever damage to Grant Park there is, and there's very little this year because there were no monsoons to wash away.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Grass, that all helps. But everybody involved walks away much richer than they came in on Wednesday.
Coming up, Demi Lovato, TV's Mrs. Garrett says goodbye. Patrick Stewart and Lance Bass thought he had a honey of a deal.
Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Back to Dean on Moron Entertainment. How's Demi Lovato?
Apparently she's doing pretty well. She put out her first public statement since she...
Bless you, Dave. Dave sneezed.
Oh, God bless you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Dean.
I didn't hear him sneeze.
You didn't? Oh, I thought
it was actually a cough, and my mic was off.
Yeah,
thanks for calling attention to it.
You don't get these kind of entertainment updates on E!
I want to know if Dean is going to rescind his God bless you now, finding out that it's a cough.
No, I still want God to bless Dave.
Dave, would you feel better?
I could use it. Believe me.
Would you feel better if I blew off your health problem of coughing and sneezing during the last couple minutes?
Yeah, I really would.
All right. Yeah. Well, back to you, Dean. How's Demi Lovato?
She's better than Dave.
She's doing okay?
She put out her first public statement since being treated for an apparent drug overdose a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Among other things in a pretty...
Did she put it on the Insta?
She put it on the Insta, because that's what you do now.
Mm-hmm.
She said in a statement, "I have always been transparent about my journey with addiction. What I've learned is that this illness is not something that disappears or fades with time. It's something I must continue to overcome and have not done yet." So that's part of her statement of...
Is she going into rehab?
She said they have not said officially, but
she has to.
Everyone said that will be the next step, and you would gather this from saying that she realizes that she must continue to overcome this and has not yet. That she realizes that you know, she still needs some help.
You're an alcoholic or a drug addict. You're an addict for life, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. You're recovering for the rest of your life, and it's one day at a time. It's not a cliche. It's a fact.
Dean, because we know she's done rehab in the past. Do you know if she was doing continuing?
She was doing continuing and then stopped. I want to say it was last April.
Okay.
Where she had stopped rehab and said that she was doing much better, so she stopped. But obviously that was premature now.
Yeah, there's a huge article in The People about her.
In The People?
Yes. So
I don't know. It was in The People.
I was just reading. I mean, she was drinking heavily and taking cocaine when she was 17, and she, after the Barney thing. Maybe, I hate to say
it. What was the Barney thing?
Well, she was on Barney. She was on Barney for years.
I love you.
Disney with the Jonas's.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Yikes. I mean,
is that not the song?
What? Was that not the song?
It's been a lifelong struggle for her.
Right.
She's pretty impressive, though, because she has shared, and I think she helps a lot of people by being honest that way. She doesn't pretend like everything's perfect.
Listen, here's the rest of the story. You got to love yourself enough to want to live, and hopefully she's at that point.
I think it's great that she's talking about it. It means, obviously, she's thinking about
it. Yeah, exactly.
And is processing it. And sometimes you need to process that out loud in order to, make it part of your regular lifestyle.
Well, I feel you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
Don't make me sad now. Going to the Mrs. Garrett story. I was just talking about her. We were having dinner the other night, and somebody said,
"You and Betty what?
Is Mrs. Garrett, is that youngster Mrs. Garrett still alive?" And then the news
And then
came.
Betty said, "Rub my feet again."
Yesterday, the news came yesterday that actress Charlotte Ray, mm-hmm. who was known as Mrs. Garrett, first on Different Strokes,
right.
and then on Facts of Life, died yesterday. Apparently, she revealed in April of last year that she was diagnosed with bone cancer. So apparently that was the cause of death. She was born in Milwaukee, which I never knew. Broke into show business doing theater and radio commercials. If you're a fan of the old black and white TV show Car 54, Where Are You? She played a fantastic character named Sylvia Schnauzer, the wife of Al Lewis's character, Officer Leo Schnauzer.
Sure, of course.
Show. She was so great on that show. But Norman Lear was a longtime fan of hers, put her on Different Strokes, and that led to Facts of Life, which ran from 1979 to 86, and she was 92 years old.
In Bald Guy News, which Dean is obligated to report by federal law,
one story per day.
Patrick Stewart's back?
Patrick Stewart is bringing back his character, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, from Star Trek The Next Generation. It's going to be on CBS All Access, which is their online platform. It's going to be a new Star Trek series, and they're not giving a lot of details, only to say that it won't be a prequel, it won't be a reboot, but it'll be the next chapter of Picard's life after Star Trek Next Generation. Mm. So sort of a continuation. No date has been set for release yet.
And finally, Lance Bass thought he had a honey of a deal.
Not so much? So did I, because I was representing him in this real estate deal. And, we thought we had this done. A couple of weeks ago, remember, we told you that the Brady Bunch house was for
sure.
sale. The house that you saw in the exterior shots of the Brady Bunch TV show was for sale. And there were lots of bidders on the house. And one of them was former InSinker Lance Bass. We put a bid on the show above the
Above list?
Asking price. He bid above the asking price, which was $1.8 million. And then it was done. So on Friday, he tweets out, super excited to announce they accepted my offer on the Brady Bunch house last night. This is going to be a fun project. Then yesterday, he puts out a very lengthy tweet in which he says something happened. Somebody came in and put a new offer in. After the deadline, after the deal was allegedly a done deal, somebody came in with even more money, and the buyer's agent said that don't even try to outbid this person or this company. They said that they will pay any price to get this house.
Okay.
So my client, my commission on this is gone.
Will you be suing?
I haven't spoken with my client yet because he's just heartbroken about this right now. He's still in
the Bassman. The Bassman's feeling bad,
fragile and emotional state.
Yeah.
But he says that he's crushed about this. What his plan was to buy the house and restore the inside of the house to look exactly like the Brady Bunch house that we used to see on TV.
God, I wish I had that kind of time.
So, unfortunately, that's not going to happen now.
Hmm. Sandberg, last word.
I'm out a crap load of money on
this. Yeah, which is amazing.
That's all I
know. Dean. Hey, Dean, we have a texter from the 708 that is looking for a review on Very Cavallari, hearing that Jay Cutler is very funny. I'm going to step in for you here,
please.
Since I happen to be watching it.
I don't watch the show.
Last night's episode was stellar. Jay described his vasectomy to his friends, whose one friend thought that they had to pull stuff out of the little hole.
How did I miss that?
I know. Jay also, Kristen was doing the Oscars. So
hold on a second.
What? They had to pull stuff out of the little hole.
That's it took us a second to put that all together.
That literally is what the idiot thought? Hole.
That's what one of Jay's friends thought, and Jay said Jay couldn't even tolerate it. So Jay also stepped in for Kristen while she was out of town, and he went and checked on the business. And he didn't fire anyone yet, but he's really...
Emmy.
Yeah. If you're
going to
watch an episode,
win an Emmy.
Last night's episode is the one to watch.
I'm telling you, I am watching today.
I tape them.
I'm sure. Why wouldn't you? And then rewatch them for airs.
I stopped listening after she said, pull it out of the little hole.
I think we were all frightened. All right, buddy. Thank you. We'll come back with the headlines in a moment. Stand by on 720 WGN.
It's time for Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
Every week we get a chance to have Super Joe show his stuff with a White Sox.
Answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
Tricky mistake, Steve.
Didn't see the announcer coming back for even more. What a hype man.
There might be another one.
There used to be more.
Joe, do you travel with that hype man? Is that hype man with you all the time?
Oh, yeah. Every day.
All right. Like you go into a Jewel and they announce, Super Joe's coming into Jewel! Did you get a little of that, too?
Yeah, to get the spaghetti. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bonus winners in this half hour of tickets. We're going to bonus you tickets to Friday morning's live broadcast. The SNL Experience. You're going to be able to join us at the Museum of Broadcast Communications this Friday morning from 6 to 10. Get an inside look at how Saturday Night Live is made. Very cool exhibit. You come, you sit in the sit in on the show with us, hang around right after the show's over. You get what amounts to a private tour of the place.
That's so great.
The SNL Experience will close on New Year's Eve. See it this Friday for free on me. But we'll start with White Sox tickets. Super Joe, do you have your question?
I sure do.
Okay.
The White Sox start a three-game series with the New York Yankees tonight. The two teams made a trade on deadline day in 2004 where the Sox sent Esteban Loaiza to the Bronx Bombers. Who did the Sox get in return?
Is it Mickey Mantle?
That would be a buzzer, my friend.
That's incorrect?
Yeah.
Is it Lou Piniella?
Nope.
Is someone more recent?
Yeah, it would be just a touch more recent.
Is it Derek Jeter's cousin Bob? Bob Jeter.
They would never trade anybody related to Jeter.
Can I give a hint?
Do you know the answer?
I think I know the answer. But it was 04, so the players that were in return would be people who were on the World Series team.
It was one player, and yes, he was on the World Series roster. Yes.
Yeah. Is it Shoeless Joe Jackson?
No.
Is it Greg Luzinski?
No.
Is it regular Joe Jackson, the musician?
No, it is not.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is the number. You call 312-981-7200. Be the first correct answer, and you'll win. And Super Joe or his hype man will tell us who wins coming up here in just a second. Jamal Mayers joins us on a good day for Blackhawks fans because you can get single-game tickets today.
Pre-game. Preseason.
Okay, easy. Jumpy and your sister Jumpette. Yes, for the preseason starting today. Hey, Jamal, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. What are you wearing right now, Jamal? It's a question I normally don't ask another grown man, but in your case, I'll make an exception.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Come on. You're always in a suit and tie.
No.
Can't believe how you've let yourself go. Jamal,
I know.
How have you been? You good?
I'm doing well.
Excited for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for this season. I'm excited for the tickets to go on sale. I'm excited for these guys to rebound from the seasons they've had. And anytime you push a champion against the wall, you usually get a good response. So I think these guys are due for a good season.
Jamal, from your playing days, talk about the response. If you have a season like we just had, how are you looking forward to as a player getting back out there? Are you figuring out what went wrong? Talk about the mental space for the Blackhawks moving into this season.
Well, honestly, I think that sometimes you need a reason, and I think because you've had so much success as a franchise and as a team, not that complacency sets in, but now they have a reason. And so the reason is that they're embarrassed. And so I think that motivated their offseason, and I think they're going to be excited and ready to go.
And you really don't want, Dave, you can back me up on this, you don't want both Joel Quenneville and John McDonough to be angry at you at the same time.
No, you don't want either one of them to be angry at you.
Get after it.
Certainly not at the same time.
Dave Sada, Jamal,
good morning. The Blackhawks also announced their preseason broadcast schedule a little while ago. Of course, we'll have all the games on WGN Radio or over on AM 1000. A few of the games, that schedule will be available at WGNRadio.com. All the games streamed on WGN Radio.com during the preseason, and then NBC Sports Chicago and WGN TV will carry all the games on television. You were at the Blackhawks convention, what, about 10 days ago, thereabouts, weekend before last, Jamal. What was the vibe you were getting when you talked to the players who were there from this team? Did you get any sense for where their head is at going into camp?
Absolutely, and I think that they're excited, and they feel embarrassed, I think, in a lot of ways that what happened last year, and they want to make amends, and I think that that's a good thing, and they should be embarrassed. And you know what? This is a proud franchise. To think about where they've come in the last 10 years is amazing, and the standard is set extremely high by Rocky and John, and the players want to meet that standard that's been set, and I think that they're in a good headspace. They're ready to go.
You got your first taste of NHL hockey at the age of 22. This is a team with so many young guys, and that's not unusual in the National Hockey League. A lot of guys do get that first league action about that age. What was the biggest thing that you had to deal with in making the jump to the NHL and the first time you took the ice for the St. Louis Blues in an NHL game?
Well, to be honest with you, it was a different time, not to make myself sound like an old-timer, but, I mean, I entered a locker room where the average age was 32. So the nice thing for these young guys is that their average age is 25. So they're entering a room of guys that they can relate to and their peers. And
yeah, but there's also super old guys like Kane and Taves. You know, the really, really old guys, too.
So old. So old. I mean, my references became so irrelevant, I had to hang out with the trainers and the doctors. So.
Well, we're excited, man. I know you are as well. And it's Ottawa. It's the Red Wings. It's the Columbus Blue Jackets featuring future Chicago Blackhawk Artemi Panarin, who said over the weekend he wouldn't mind coming back in 19. So maybe that'll work out as well. And also tickets to the Training Camp Festival, Dave, they're on sale.
They are on sale, the Training Camp Festival. You can go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com or through Ticketmaster. And, again, the preseason home games, tickets go on sale 10 o'clock. That's Tuesday, September 25th against Detroit. On Thursday, September 27th against Ottawa. Saturday, September 29th, the preseason finale against Artemi Panarin and Columbus at the United States.
Now, these are preseason games?
These are regular season games.
I wish you guys had brought that up.
Preseason games.
Hey, Jamal, so since the Hawks weren't in the playoffs, you had a long summer of being a dad. Have you been just a soccer, porting kids back and forth to soccer games?
Yeah, you said it exactly. And I recently built like a little synthetic grass thing in the side of my house. So somehow I ended up training girls. I have nothing to do with soccer. I have no idea what I'm doing, but they're at my house, and I'm trying to help them become
better
athletes.
There's a ball, and there's a goalie. That part you got.
Somehow I'm a crazy dad. I don't know what happened.
Well, you have fun there. I'm sure you will.
Have you named that field on your property?
No.
Okay.
Jamal Mayer Stadium. Yeah. That whole thing. Jamal, thank you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
See you later. That's Jamal Mayer from your Chicago Blackhawks greater organization. Do we have a winner, Super Joe, for the White Sox tickets? Joe from the South Side, what was the correct answer?
That would be Jose Contreras.
Jose Contreras.
That's what I was going to say.
Yankees sent Contreras here in exchange for Esteban Loaiza and a soda machine.
So then Loaiza came back to the White Sox after?
He was here twice.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then he ran into some trouble,
too. He became a huge alleged Coke dealer.
Alleged.
Well, I don't know where they're at then. Is he in jail at this point?
Well, what jersey number did Loaiza wear on the second go-around?
Jersey number or inmate number?
41.
Close, 48.
Ah, darn. All right, good call. we now have, because I want you guys to win, we now have bonus prizes for you. What else am I giving away from the Blackhawks? That's right, a pair of tickets to the preseason home opener. Again, single-game tickets for the preseason today at 10 a.m. Buy your tickets at ChicagoBlackhawks.com and see the Red Wings, Senators, and Blue Jackets next month. So this is the Red Wings game. That's the home opener.
Yep.
All right.
It is a great game to take your kids to, preseason ones, because the crowd isn't always as intense, but you get all the bells and whistles, an anthem and all that.
You can get up super close to the players. Yeah. You can actually climb over the glass, get on the ice. You can do a lot of things.
No, you cannot.
Oh, you can't do that? ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Get your tickets or win them right now. We'll go caller number 7 at 312-981-7200, and we're back after this.
When Brian first came out, I remember interviewing him, at the combine. And, he was at a different position. We knew he was getting ready to make the transition. And as a young linebacker coach, you saw the potential right then.
Coach has constituted the bedrock of my existence for nearly 3 decades. They taught me about discipline, hard work, teamwork, and were there to challenge me to become a better man and a better player in that order. I'm so very grateful that you not only demanded I be the best player I could be, but actually showed me how.
For guys that didn't like to talk, Urlacher did 20 minutes.
19 to be exact.
Well, we round up. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he did a great job.
And his hair held up.
His hair looked fantastic. Are you kidding?
I thought all of the speeches for Hall of Fame were really good. I mean, really powerful in different ways.
Yeah, without a doubt. You heard a little of Coach Lovie Smith there, and all of that is at WGNRadio.com, wherever you get podcasts of the Steve Cochran Show, where it's 9:13. Sandberg, who's our next guest?
Sam from the... Illinois Restaurant Association.
Toya?
He's the president and CEO.
Toya, lean into that microphone for me, Sam. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Did I get that right, Toya?
Toya, that's right.
The Illinois Restaurant Association president and CEO, does that mean you have Secret Service?
Something like that.
Yeah, as far as you're right.
Yeah.
What's the thrust of the job?
Well, it's all about doing special events like Chicago Gourmet, or managing the James Beard Awards, or helping out on the
James
Restaurant
Beard
Association.
Award winner right there.
I know that.
Two-time
really
James Beard Award winner right there.
We like that.
Thanks, Steve.
We are the culinary capital of the United States, we're glad we got these James Beard Award winners here. Then also we do education. We have an education foundation. We gave $180,000 of scholarships out last year.
Nice.
It
never ends, is what you're saying.
Excuse me?
It never ends.
Never ends. It's all about guests in beds and diners in seats.
Wow, how about that?
That's a good line.
Yeah, and what's your background? Where are you from?
Well, I was in the restaurant industry with my family. We own restaurants throughout the city. I was originally in Leona's. So, I know.
Leona's.
So I know a little bit about the restaurant industry. But I've been doing this for 6 years. I've been away from that now. Family got out of that. But,
well, the big event, of course, Chicago Gourmet, which is now in its 11th year. Gourmet, which takes over Millennium Park at the end of September, and parts of Chicago, other places as well, is really a way to bring together everything that Chicago offers and beyond, but really what Chicago offers to one space. Talk about this event, because this event has exploded in popularity.
Yes. So this is our 11th year. This year is Rock the Fork. We got music and food. What goes better than music and food? And we are the premier city, like I said. We are the premier food and wine show. I don't care what they say in South Beach or Pebble Beach. We got the best food and wine show right here.
Absolutely.
Millennial Park, fourth weekend in September.
So you're not lying when you say the culinary capital. We've seen more and more celebrity chefs come to Chicago. Even if they're not from here originally, they'll win on shows like Top Chef, and they're like, I have to open up in Chicago.
Yeah.
How has the, in your 6 years' time, how have you seen the culinary scene here, the industry in Chicago change?
Well, I mean, just look at the West Loop. Look at Logan Square. Look at Hyde Park. Look at Pilsen. We got some neighborhoods that are just popping up with some great restaurants. We got Rick Bayless and Stephanie Isers and Paul Kahan, just to name a few. Tony Montuano. We got some great celebrity chefs here in city of Chicago. And each year we keep getting bigger and bigger. When Mayor Emanuel came in 2011, we had 39 million visitors here to the city of Chicago. Last year we had 55 million visitors. And you know why it's up? Obviously, it's conventions, it's tourism, but it's culinary tourism. The millennials?
It's food, baby.
It's food.
It's food.
It's food. Yes, that's what I said. Guests in beds, diners in seats. We got the best food in America.
So, it's grown every year, and now in the 11th year. Is there a point, though, where you don't want it to get too much bigger? Because then the quality of the event might start to...
Mayor, what we're doing is we're doing more ancillary events. Like this year, we got 7 ancillary events, like Global Streets, which is going to be music. And we're going to have, like, Bollywood dancers.
That's STR Eats. STREATS.
That's right. That's right, Steve. So we keep doing more and more ancillary events because we don't want to take it out of Millennium Park. Because Millennium Park is... having our food and wine shows in Millennium Park, it's like the Cubs playing in Wrigley Field. What I mean? Cubs ain't leaving Wrigley Field. And we ain't, Chicago Gourmet is not leaving Millennium
Park. What about the Hamburger Hop? Still doing it?
Hamburger Hop, yeah. It's on the Harris rooftop, and that's phenomenal. There's over, about 1,200 people that attend that. We have some great chef, like Tony Parola's at there, and we just got some great chefs over there, participating, like Nathan Sears from State and Lake Chicago Tavern, Jose Sosa from Gibson's Italia. We got some great chefs, saying who's got the best burger here in the culinary capital.
It's a tremendous, I love the Hamburger Hop, been there many times, and on some of the ancillary events as well. It says a lot about this event that the main event that you do on the Saturday is already sold out. I mean, we're months or a month and a half out to this, and it's already sold out. But it speaks to a consumer's palate has evolved, and you're seeing more and more people considering themselves foodies than ever before. Why do you think that is?
Good question, Justin. So I think that is because the millennials, they grew up with the Travel Channel. They grew up with Food Network. It's about an experience. And, so we stay in town. We go, we just had Lollapalooza. That's an experience. We got Chicago Gourmet coming up. That's an experience. We have over 240 chefs participating. So you can get tastings from all, like, over 200 restaurants. So you go, I like this tasting. I'm going to go here to Logan Square. I'm going to go to Pilsen. So you can come to Chicago Gourmet, get some tastings from some of these great chefs, and then figure if you want to go out to the restaurant. So it's about an experience.
Sorry, Steve. I just was, whenever we go on vacation and Pat will talk about, where do you want to eat, whatever. And because we have such a rich, diverse, amazing food here, I don't go on vacation for food because my everyday life has amazing food here. Yeah. I don't need the... to find Mexico.
You don't fly to other cities to eat. You can eat here.
Yeah, like we have it everything. All, so.
What about the money? Where's the money going?
Money. So last year we raised over $100,000 for scholarships for the Illinois Restaurant Association, Ed Foundation, and Pilot Light. And as I said earlier, we gave out over $180,000 in scholarships to students here throughout the state of Illinois, city of Chicago. We work with a lot of great high schools like Simeon and Suarez and Roosevelt and Roberto Clemente, Fanger, to name a few high schools we work with and who we've given students scholarships to.
Give me an example. Where are the kids going once they get the scholarship?
Oh, so they'll go to Kendall College, go to CIA, they'll go to, quite a few of the, but Laco to CIA, Kendall College, Washburn. I'll go to Washburn as well. Sure.
Future stars of tomorrow.
Future stars. Future celebrity chefs here in the culinary capital.
Chicago Gourmet. Again, give folks the dates.
ChicagoGourmet.org. It's the fourth weekend in September in Millennium Park, and we got definitely ancillary events. So please go to our website, ChicagoGourmet.org, and go to one of our great ancillary events like Global Streets or the Hamburger Hop, to name a few.
And Rock the Fork.
Rock the fork.
Come
music
on.
And food. What else? Come on. What else, Steve?
And what are we putting butts in seats and people
just
in beds?
Diners and seats. That's what it's all about.
Butts in beds and people. I screwed it up.
Heads in beds, butts in seats. Come on. Come on, Justin.
Come on. Let's get it together. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Coming off Lollapalooza, one more music story. This is from Wacken, Germany. You ever been to Wacken?
I have not.
Well, I've never been to Wacken. Remember that Three Dog Night song?
Oh, yeah.
Wacken, Germany. Two elderly men escaped their nursing home Friday to attend the world's largest heavy metal festival. The Deutsche Welle reports the nursing home told police the two men were missing. The pair was eventually found at the Wacken Open Air Festival at 3 a.m. local time.
Wow.
Police said the two were disoriented and dazed, but they're both metalheads, and they didn't want to leave the festival. Police had to escort them back to the nursing home. According to Deutsche Welle, the world-renowned festival sold out 75,000 people. Their headline acts included elderly favorites, Danzig, Judas Priest, Hatebreed, and the Inflames.
I would like the rights to that story. To write that movie. Script, right?
It's a movie.
Come on. It's so good.
It's fantastic. We had quite a weekend here as well. And, those of you who have an answer to the violence and the shootings, raise your hand. We'll take all the volunteers we can find. But you brought up an interesting point off the air this morning. Yeah. So first off, tell everybody how many people were shot this weekend.
There were 70-plus people that were shot in Chicago this weekend. And that's a really high number, of course. We got desensitized in the city when you get a lower number, like 30 or 20.
Right.
We go, that was a great weekend. It's still a terrible weekend when 20 or 30 people are shot. But to have 70-plus weekend, 70-plus shot. And the newspapers were talking about that a big chunk of them happened overnight, Saturday into Sunday.
Over the course of how many hours?
I think it was like a seven-hour window that 40 people were shot in 7 hours. And Peter Nikias, who's a tremendous reporter for the Chicago Tribune, he tweeted out that it was a little bit abnormal in the sense that there were a lot of, and I use this term lightly because it's used all over, but mass shootings, meaning he tweeted out on, I think it was overnight, Saturday, 16th and Avers, 4 shot, 76th and Troop, 8 shot. At Iowa and Carlaw, 4 shot. 13th and Millard, 6 shot. And in the article, they talk about these were block parties. These were parties on a porch. Gang activity, drive-by shooting type stuff.
Were they that random?
I don't think they were random. I think it was, it probably was targeted. There's no doubt. But it was done in a way that it was bullets into a crowd. And so that makes the number go up. I mean, you're looking at, I think, just the tally that he put in the tweet, there were 29 victims, shooting victims in 6 different shootings.
So
that's a lot. That's very abnormal, and it does make the number much higher than there usually are.
Well, there's, 80, 90 recognized gangs? By the gang task force? There's a tremendous amount of gangs.
Well, it seems like every block has a gang.
Right.
Right.
Is there a possible coordination that goes on?
Yeah, maybe. It's amazing. I've never seen it like that. And again, I'm not checking every week for the numbers, but to see a 4, 8 shot, 6 shot, 4 shot, it shows that there's a pattern of targeted sort of at parties, backyard parties, porches, people where they're congregating.
Well, and it shows that there's, as you said, a change. When we initially saw the story, you're like, 51 people hit by bullets. You're thinking 51 guns
right.
all over the streets hit it. But
right.
It was
exactly.
6 people.
Exactly. And it inflates the number to say 73 people. Again, it's terrible. 73 people being shot. It's absolutely stunningly, shockingly terrible.
It's outrageous.
But at least 40 of those came in group shootings, which means that that's probably gang related in the way that they are targeting a party or they're targeting a congregation of people.
Yeah, and there's the go to Aunt Patty Vasquez joins us. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
I'm gonna turn your microphone on.
There's actually, if you follow Peter Nikias on Twitter, he's a writer for the Chicago Tribune. He covers all the violence and chaos in the middle of the night, and he actually has a video link there of a girl who was at a party and gunfire starts, and there's about 22. We can hear her running and actually watch her fleeing, and a lot of people trying to get to a house, and you hear in the background, "Oh my God, I've been shot! Call an ambulance!"
Jeez.
And it's
on video.
On video.
In the world we live in now, the mayoral candidates and their there are now 211 on the Democrat side. Who has owned this as an issue?
Well, Gary McCarthy. I mean, obviously we saw Rudy Giuliani. I think that's why he tweeted it out in a perfect
time. Or as Rudy calls it, Jerry McCarthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he tweeted out his support for Gary McCarthy on knowing that the weekend was extremely violent. Now, I think we have a little revisionist history in Chicago, even though it was the year after McCarthy left that we had the spike in numbers in 2017. Under McCarthy's tenure, you still had huge numbers of shootings and deaths in Chicago. So it's not like he came in and cleaned it up.
Here's what nobody wants to talk about. That whack job that Rudy Giuliani has turned into at one point was a beloved member of the policing community. And his mayor in the days after 9/11 was as well thought of as anybody. One of the reasons that New York City is now safe and safer than Chicago is because people's civil rights were violated. That's the bottom line. You know, you can talk about it all day. This is not about we need more black and brown dads staying at home. Obviously, you need more of that. But poor and violent doesn't pick a color. Brown, black, white, if a kid's prone to violence, they're going to be prone to violence. You can't fix the gang problem overnight. You can't fix the broken homes overnight. You want to stop guns and crime on the street? You're going to have to accept that there's going to be stop and frisk, and there's going to be ways to pull these guns and get them out of the system. You can't have it both ways.
And I wonder, too, you know, you've seen the Chicago police this year have seen a decrease in the shootings. They've been under the norm when it comes to the month-to-month.
Sadly, though, we have a high norm.
Absolutely, absolutely, as I said. Yeah. But you see that they are trying new technologies, and they are beefing up police in certain areas to try and push back on gangs and violent areas. So, like you said, this number is huge. To have 70-plus in a weekend in August is terrible. But it is a little inflated in the sense that these shootings happened in group quantities, if you will. Like six people shot in one setting or eight in another.
And I know that people get sort of numb to this because they know what neighborhoods it's happening. And every time there's a shooting, they're pretty certain it's going to be Englewood or Austin. Or, you know, it's just that's the fact. And that's why Reverend Livingston had the protests. And people all weekend, of course, were like, well, why aren't they protesting now? You know, nothing was going to happen over the course of 3 or 4 days.
No, and a protest doesn't automatically link to action in the next couple hours that fixes a problem.
Right.
It's an ongoing thing. The no snitching policy has to go away. The policing with respect obviously has to be increased. Again, if you have the answer, walk to City Hall now and volunteer your answer, because nobody's got the instant fix here, but we just know it's got to stop, which is why you continue to bring it up. But it's no more it's as frustrating to us as there is to anybody. Because just talking about it doesn't mean anything. We'd like to tell you there's an easy answer here. But again, overnight, I don't have it for you. Yeah. I don't have it for you tonight, tomorrow, or the next day. I wish I did. 9:31, headlines next. More with Patty. She's going to hang out for a bit here. When are you on the radio now?
I'm on the radio. It's from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Hi, Justin. And
Patty.
Unless the White Sox are playing, in which case we follow the game until 1 a.m., it's at the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dallas.
Oh, man, check your local listings. At 9:32, headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Texters are as frustrated as we are, well-meaning texters, too. The instant fix is to get bad guys off the street. Okay, a suggestion? How are we doing that? Because cops will tell you, we bring them in 24 to 40 hours, 48 hours later. If they have any money, they've got an attorney that has bounced them right back on the street. Mm-hmm. This is a multi-layered problem that's been building up for years and years, and it takes that long to fix it. And you know what? You know, here's what it comes down to. This is, again, why you have to show up to vote. You got to take enough interest in this where you don't just think you have the answer and send a text, or you actually do some research on what candidates are committed to a fix and support them.
Yeah.
So, let's see, 9:34.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That'll be everything.
Patty Vasquez is here. She's going to be at the Laughing Stock Comedy Festival in Woodstock, August 17th and 18th, with Michael Palasek and who else? Turn your mic on.
Annabelle Val, Emo Phillips, Carl Wolfson.
Emo's going to be there.
Emo's
That's
there,
awesome.
Yes.
That's tremendous.
August 17th and 18th, it's the Laugh Stock in
and along
Woodstock.
With Annabelle Val?
Annabelle Val.
Yeah, it's
where in Woodstock?
It's going to be at the Opera House, actually.
Oh, that's great.
That's my old stomping ground.
It's going to be a blast.
The Opera House?
No, yeah, I've been in that opera house many times. That's where we did a lot of our
films. Did you do opera?
Well, I grew up in Wonder Lake, and so that's right next to Woodstock.
Oh, and your parents are still up there?
They're not, but they do spend a lot of time in Woodstock still.
I just spent the weekend there. I did pop-up comedy events on Saturday all over the place at the Farmer's Market.
You guys, your schedule makes me tired. Laughstockfestival.com?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you're off on vacation here in a couple of days. I thought this would be good to mention as you go on vacation. Super Joe, do you have the geography lesson that President Trump gave us on Saturday night? Ooh.
I have great respect for the UK, United Kingdom. Great respect. People call it Britain. They call it Great Britain. They used to call it England, different parts.
Oh, my God.
But the UK, great respect. And I was asked to have tea with the Queen, who is incredible, by the way.
So great, that Queen. Again, Britain, different part from the UK and Great Britain. You know, you don't know. Mm. He knows.
And now I do. So
I'm going to wear a shirt that has the flag of Canada on it. Actually, maybe the flag of Mexico.
Yeah, the maple leaf look for you is solid. Maple leaf and a taco. It's 9:48. All right, let's talk about our old friends who are regular guests on this show. To promote something that, you know, look, I've been a big supporter of Lighthouse since I found out how great they were and why back it down now. So, sir, as the big boss at Lighthouse, tell everybody what you do.
Hi, I'm Gary. I'm the chairman of the board of the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
And you guys aren't just clockmakers, are you?
No, that's the old Lighthouse. Now we're a socially motivated organization that really pushes for inclusion of people with disabilities in all walks of life and developing job opportunities for them so they can integrate into society and be as productive as a person without disabilities.
Now, one of the amazing things, Patty, when I first met these guys was that you have severely visually impaired and legally blind folks making clocks. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my question was, how do they know where the hands are supposed to go? And these clocks are works of art that you guys have made. Well, the clocks at Target and various places?
Correct.
And I would imagine so much sensory is involved as well. I mean, we think of people who have one sense that's missing as though that then impedes their ability to learn, and it does not.
Not at all. That's just a fallacy. I don't know how else to put it. They're perfectly normal human beings. Given the opportunity, they could be as productive as you and me.
Or more so. Gary Rich. David Huber's here. Dave and I go way back, and Dave strolled in here one day, and he said, I'm on the board of Lighthouse. And I said, Dave, you can come in without making stuff up. And turns out, in fact, he is. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Nice to see you again. And your passion for this place comes from where?
Well, back in the 90s, I had a detached retina, ended up blind in my right eye. So when I had the opportunity given to me to become a part of the board of the Lighthouse, I immediately jumped at it, and it's been a 10-year great relationship for me.
And helping guide an organization like that to even bigger levels is a big deal. All right, so Gary, the Lighthouse sculptures are what?
Lighthouse sculptures. There were 51 lighthouses over 6 feet tall.
These are cool.
They're absolutely gorgeous. They're decorated by local, national, well-known artists. They're on display along the Magnificent Mile and a few other spots. And we've had it's been unbelievably successful. We've had feedback from thousands of people through social media and email about how each of those lighthouses in some way touched them and moved them.
Justin, did you buy a couple for the house?
Yeah, I they're awesome. I love them. Are you surprised that not just the local press, but the national press, there's been a lot made of the lighthouses on Michigan Avenue? Because you guys were in a couple months ago when it started. I said, oh, that'll be quaint and fun to see them on Michigan Avenue. But this has really become a national story, not just in the art world, but I've seen it in a couple of different publications.
Yeah, it's been incredible for us. You know, we had Jane Pauley do the CBS morning profile, and that really launched it nationwide. Ashton Kutcher on his A+ online site.
You get confused for him a lot, you and Ashton Kutcher.
I know. It's tough.
Goes with the territory.
Same guy. But that's our pub that Justin's talking about blew this thing up, so it's not just a great source of revenue, it's a great source of exposure all over the country.
They actually had a group in from South Korea.
Tremendous.
Did a profile.
ChicagoLighthouse.org. So what's the status of the auction? Are we done?
No, it'll be starting this Wednesday, August 8th at 7 a.m., and it'll run through Sunday, August 12th ending at 8 p.m.
And what's the lighthouse going to cost me? I mean, how much do I have to have set aside?
I know. I want to know the range.
For you, we'll make a special deal. We'll talk about it offline. But for the rest of the public, I'm only kidding. The rest of the public, it starts at $2,500, $5,000, and $10,000. The pricing is really based upon feedback from the community, based upon the popularity of the established artist, as well as taking into consideration price points that are affordable for everybody.
Well, the thing is, these are original works of art. These are epic works of art that, you know, you'll have in your life, and nobody else is going to own this. These are one of a kind.
You remember the back in 99, they did the cows?
Yeah.
You still see those all over the place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this has the same impact, and, you know, these are both done by local and national artists, and some very famous, Jeff Hansen, who we were the direct sponsor of.
Sure.
Jeff has raised $3.5 million. Wow. For charities through his work, and Jeff was born visually impaired severely. Right. And incredible artist. So there's some great talent there.
Where's the money go?
Money's going to go to the Lighthouse to support all their programs,
right.
which Gary can tell you a little bit about. But there's a number of different initiatives that they have, and they've been around for 100 years. So,
and you're right too, because about the cows. Whenever I see those in a company or in our lobby or an organization's property, it's a wonderful symbol of what their commitment is to art. And I'm excited to see where these pop up, showing a commitment to the community, as you guys were talking about inclusion and really spreading awareness.
Absolutely.
The Chicago Lighthouse. You go to chicagolighthouse.org. Just follow the links. You scroll down just a little bit and you'll see the auctions. Click on there. It'll boot you to another site which shows all the pictures of the various lighthouses. Tells you how to get involved with the auction. And I wish you nothing but success with it. And as always, I'm happy to big mouth it for you anytime you need.
Well, we really appreciate your
sure.
support. And you can actually go to bidpal.net/lighthouses for a direct link to the bidding site.
Okay.
And right now, the preview is up. You can look at the lighthouses, evaluate them.
You can look at them individually, too, and see which one you definitely
exactly.
have to.
Exactly.
They're out on Michigan Avenue until the 11th.
Right. Yeah. And you can pre-register now. You're ready for the auction when it begins. And we use emails to let people know, or text, actually, if they give us their text information, to let them know once they bid if someone has outbid them so they can rebid. And if they win, they'll be notified. Same way.
One-of-a-kind work of art that's going to be very special in your life, but also help a lot of people. Nice job, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good to see you guys.
All right, Dave, go home. You've had enough of your weekend in the city.
Thank you.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Oh, we got about a minute here, Patty, so plug your show.
Going to be at the Woodstock inaugural Laughs.
I was talking about
festival.
A radio show, but oh. you got to the
no.
Last
I like
show.
To no. Do both.
Yes, no. I
radio
I
show just, starts.
Minute is
time?
Plenty.
Tonight we're starting after the White Sox play because they have a 7:10 right. first pitch,
yes,
and so that's anywhere between 10:15 and last inning.
And August 17th and 18th yes. With Michael Palisak, Emo Phillips, Adam Olival,
Carl Wolfson, and I'm teaching
and
a workshop.
And Patty Vasquez, laughstockfestival.com.
Come see me at the Opera House.
Okay. All right. I will.
Come
okay.
with me.
All right, I'll be there. All right, fine, whatever you want.
Thank you.
Bill and Wendy next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hi.
Hi,
Good
Steve.
Morning.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Nice to see you.
No, it's always nice to see you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
What are you doing on the show today?
We've got Julie Unruh, who is a
I
reporter for she's on the Channel 9.
She is great.
She coming over?
She'll be here by way of the telephone.
Ugh.
Last week, she did a report from, you know, this building that's being built a few buildings away.
Yeah.
That's
going to
be one of
the Vista Tower.
The Vista Tower.
Genie Gang, right?
She went all the way up to the top.
It's over 1 million feet high.
1 million feet high.
Yeah.
And she gave you and Steve Bertrand the heebie-jeebies by
I'm not kidding.
That video.
I couldn't watch it. I was holding onto my chair at home. And she's way up at the top, at the very
well,
top
you know,
of it.
She's got into the business by being an iron worker.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, she's got that look about her.
Oh, all right. So we'll discuss that with
it's understandable.
Her.
Understandable. You know
for
that
three
old
hours.
Black and white picture of her eating a sandwich sitting on the edge of the
Yeah, with other fellas from the 1940s?
Yeah. Well, tell her hello. I haven't talked to her quite a while. She's the best.
All right.
I'll give you a dollar.
I'll do it. I'm in.
See you tomorrow.